Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of Be Kind, Rewind, and Listen to DK Podcast Movies. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad. Clever intro here. Welcome to the movie segment where we are brought to you by Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from the past so you can look rad today. With free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old-school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or something in between, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. Also brought to you by Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. Gamefly has thousands of titles you can keep as long as you want. When you're done, just send it back in the postage paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever, pay a lot less than in-store prices. And they just updated their rewards program where you can stack up to $20 in coupons toward any purchase. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. Fellas, when I was a kid, my favorite turtle was Michelangelo. I liked him the best. He was, as the song went, a party dude. As I got a little bit older, I dug on Donatello, his attention to science and inventiveness. Still older, in my teen years, Raphael's cynicism and desire for action. But as I've matured, I've reached a point where I can truly appreciate Leonardo. The sacrifices he made, the training he had to go through, the pressure that he had to, that he was under as their leader. Leonardo had to train harder, had to find his voice, had to set an example, and he had to coordinate these three brothers with wildly different personalities and perspectives. And in nearly every story, Leo gives this task his utter best. It's the example that I hope we're setting as we inspire other people to engage in our Extra Life marathon.
Nice.
Nice segue.
This October 28th and 29th. We are raising money for Children's Miracle Network using the Extra Life video gaming marathon, and whether you're a leader, an inventor, cool but rude, or a party dude, we need your help raising money. Find a link to donate on our website, geekcavepodcast.com, and have a chance for prizes like t-shirt from Shirtosaurus or a physical copy of TMNT Shredder's Revenge on Switch from Limited Run Games. And this year, with a donation of $250 or more, you can even join us in the recording.
Through the cloud space.
I was going to say. Yeah. Through the digital realities of the studio.
Virtually be here with us, virtually.
You can join us as we record a segment of the show. We can't do this kind of work without you, and it's your support that makes the whole thing successful. So join us as we help sick kids. So that has taken care of a lot of those things. And again, I spent a lot of time writing that. Justin, did you have any kind of social life this month?
Ladies and gentlemen, live from Central Park, Simon and Garfunkel.
Pilot party! Pilot party!
Pilot party!
It's amazing that all of these musical acts are doing perfect covers of this song.
It's awesome.
It's that perfect of a song. Welcome to Pilot Party, where I review an entire TV series based only on the first episode. Why only the first episode? Because my goals are beyond your understanding.
Wow. Okay.
That was sinister.
That was left-handed. You see, kids, because in Latin, never mind, carry on. Yeah.
Guys, do you like shows of good versus evil?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you like shows with a kick-ass theme song?
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Do you like a credit sequence filled with fighting, blood, and a metric ton of half-naked, overly muscular men who are taller than Andre the Giant could ever hope to be?
It depends on my mood.
Then Baki is the show for you.
Bucky.
Baki.
Oh, Baki.
B-A-K-I.
I thought Baki. It was Bucky O'Hare at first. I'm like, wait a minute.
Huh.
No. Baki.
Baki.
Baki, okay.
The ones who first noticed were his classmates. A teacher is writing on the chalkboard and begins to shake from fear. Soon the entire class feels it. All but one. Baki Hama, who sits quietly in the back. Later we see that he's been in a fight and his arm is in a partial cast. He's confronted by three guys looking to beat him up, but they too begin to quake with fear and back down. Mitsumori Takagawa. La 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 la. Mitsumori Takagawa, head of the underground fighting arena, shows up at Baki's school. Baki is sent to the principal's office to meet him. He explains the concept of synchronicity, where matter, living beings, and ideas that seem unrelated change at the same time and the same way on a global scale. He then tells Baki that some dangerous men are coming. Cut to Tacoma, Washington. Dorian is about to be executed by hanging for his crimes. His last words are that he wants to taste defeat. After 10 minutes, his body is finally lowered, where it is revealed that he's still alive. He kills the guards, escapes, and begins to swim to Tokyo. Cut to Glasgow, Scotland. Doyle is about to be executed by electric chair for his crimes. His last words were that he wishes to taste defeat. The lever is pulled, the current goes through his body. He survives, kills the guards, and catches a plane to Tokyo. Evans Prison, Russia. A former underground missile silo turned into a prison for the worst of the worst. Sikorsky used the silo's imperfections, cracks, rust, and other minor damages to scale the silo's 100 kilometers high sheer walls. That is 65.2 miles for the listeners in the United States, Liberia, and Myanmar. He leaves a message scrawled on the wall about tasting defeat, and then we see him walking through the Russian wasteland in a snowstorm. Level 5 underwater prison off the coast of the United States.
I swear to God, if this is about tasting defeat...
A psychiatrist is going to see a prisoner by the name of Speck. The psychiatrist is forced to remove his watch, lighter, tie clip, belt, cufflinks, and wonders why all the measurements. Speck is behind bulletproof acrylic glass. The guard tells him that the last psychiatrist got too close. Speck hit him through the food tray slot, used the psychiatrist's dentures to make a lockpick, and escaped. The new guy approaches the cell and sees that Speck isn't in there. He's in the air ducts above him. Speck rips out the psychiatrist's gold tooth, uses it to open the airlock of the submarine, holds his breath for 5 minutes that it takes to swim to the surface. Not before yelling to the guards that he wants to taste defeat.
I knew it.
Quote, somewhere in Japan. Ryoku is in a reinforced bulletproof cell. Clear on all sides. There's barriers around it. You can't get more than 10 feet close to the glass. The only thing he has in his cell is a bed and a table for writing. He begins to goad the two security guards there and scares them. They draw their guns. He places his hand on the cell wall and makes a small vacuum between his hand and the glass, making it weak. So when the guards fire upon him, the glass breaks. He kills the guards by blowing into their ear and forcing their brains out the other side. In his cell, he has written a letter saying, apologizing, and that he's going to the capital city of Tokyo to taste defeat. Takagawa has told all of this to Baka, and he says it's synchronicity that these five criminals are now converging on the city, and asks Baki if he knows what this means. Credits! I have no freaking clue what I just saw.
I don't know. What I listened to.
And I watched it twice just to make sure. This is an excessively violent and gory show. Animated or not, it comes with multiple warnings and viewer discretions. It, because it's animated, it didn't quite peak my threshold of nope, but it was close. Now for my predictions. As you guessed, these five men are coming to do battle with Baki. But why? He's just a kid. Or is he? No, he's the one. The being spoke of in legends and folklore. The bedtime story told to all expert fighters and bodybuilders. The alpha testosterone. The biggest dick. Over the course of the show, they have an arena-style battle with Baka taking them and others out. By the end, he is victorious, and all muscle men everywhere bow down to him. Giving up his fighting days, he opens up a garden shop and breeds and trains teacup chihuahuas. I give it a 2 out of 5 half-naked men looking to flex all their muscles. It was okay.
Well, thank you, Justin.
You're welcome.
I think.
You okay, Darren?
Can't sleep. Gotta taste defeat.
Well, it'll take you a bit to get to Tokyo.
If I leave right now. No, man.
You'll probably taste it somewhere over Oceania.
I gotta get a passport. That's gonna take me a while.
So there are a lot of shows out there that live in the memories of TV land. Some of them are given new life, and some are as absent as Will's dad in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh my God.
This segment of the show asked you about one such forgotten piece of television history and asked, should we review it? It was good then, it'll be good now. Reboot it, the idea's sound, we can modernize it and capture some magic. Revive it, what are they doing after a couple of decades of growth and development? Or refuse it, Chad, go soak your face.
Soak your face, all right.
This one's a bit of an interesting show because I'm willing to bet, not a lot, mind you, but I'm willing to bet that neither of you watched the first season of this show. You likely watched the second season and probably the third season if you were a fan of the TGIF lineup of the early mid-90s. The first episode of the first season, it showed up on the Tuesday night lineup between Full House and Roseanne. What show was it, you are likely asking? It starred Mark Curry as a substitute teacher in Oak Bridge High School.
Yes.
We're hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Yes.
During this first season, Mr. Cooper is a substitute teacher and then is given a chance to play professional basketball, but has to guard against Charles Barkley, and that doesn't go well. And after that, the focus of Hanging with Mr. Cooper was the ins and outs of teaching and coaching basketball while navigating the personal relationships that come from being an adult. After that first season, the show spent its next 3 years in the TGIF lineup, where it closed things out in the 8:30 to 9 o'clock central time slot. Now, season 3 and 4, for you, Justin, are notable for having been directed almost exclusively by Mark Lynn Baker, who played cousin Larry Applegate in Perfect Strangers.
Yep.
The driving force of the characters through the series was the relationship between Mr. Cooper and Vanessa Russell, a friend and roommate, before eventually the two of them became engaged. Unfortunately, the show ended before they tied the knot, so there's no stories of their time adjusting to life and work as a married couple. Don't know what else I can say about it, so what say you? Review, reboot, revive, or refuse?
Revive.
Yeah?
I want to continue the story. I actually did see the first season, but not the first time it ran. I saw it in reruns once it hit syndication. But this was one of the many TGIF shows that I fell in love with.
Uh-huh.
I love Mr. Cooper. I remember the episode where he tries to tell Vanessa he has feelings for her, mm-hmm. but since he pronounces it as fillings, she's like, fillings? What, you need dental work? What are you talking about? You know? Hanging with Mr. Cooper, it wasn't a particularly hilarious show
Mm-mm.
by any means, but it was a heartfelt one.
Mm-hmm.
It felt genuine, and I would love to see some kind of follow-up, like, did they get married? Did it work out? You know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I'd love to see a revival. I'd love to see a continuance of it.
Yeah? Justin?
One of my memories of the show is It was the Christmas episode, or one of them, and there was a little kid involved who all they wanted was their dad to come back from military overseas for Christmas. And the entire show was Mr. Cooper trying to figure out how to tell this kid he can't do it. It's impossible. At the end of the episode, there's a knock on the door, and it's the dad. Come to find out that one of the guys that Cooper worked with was former military. He pulled some strings, got the kid's dad home for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And that just lines right up with the heartwarming aspect of the show. Especially since the former military coach is always played as this very gruff, no-nonsense, I-don't-care kind of mm-hmm. person. I don't necessarily want to revive it, but I think a reboot would be cool. Kind of, you know, modernize it a little bit, deal with a little bit more current social issues, but still keep that very much heartfelt core.
I'd be okay with a reboot as long as they don't go overly serious, like what apparently they're doing with Fresh Prince.
Hmm. Yeah, and that's fair. Like I said, it's got to keep that heartfelt core with a little bit of humor to it. Doesn't need to be a drama, but it can tackle some more current things than trying to shove that into a 90s-centric show.
To me, it was one of those that was meant to be a heartwarming, you know, it was meant to be a positive expression of life. And it did that very well. I'm good with a reboot, a revive, a review even. I've rewatched some of the episodes. Can't find the first season online, but it might just be on one of the streaming services that I don't have much access to.
Try Tubi. They have a surprising amount of stuff you don't expect them to have. And it's free. So
I'll give that a look.
Yeah. They have RoboCop the series on there.
Holy Muller.
That show's terrible, but the fact that it's there.
Huh. Have to check that out in 2 months. 4R. Or 3 months.
Yeah.
So, in the trailers that we watch, you know, movies, usually they're handed over to a completely separate team to create the movie previews. And a lot of times you have no idea what the movie's going to be about. Well, I've rounded up a whole bunch of them, and we're going to take a real quick look. The Greatest Beer Run Ever, based on a true story. I think this is going to be two movies, actually. It's going to be a funny movie for half of it and an extremely serious movie for the other half, because it's about a guy who packs up a duffel bag full of beer from being in the United States and is going to take it to the fellas in Vietnam.
Oh.
And it's being portrayed as like a weird comedy in the trailer.
Mm. Okay.
Mona Lisa and the Blood Moon looks creepy. Bit of an indie vibe. I kind of want to see it. Alienoid, alien prisoners, time travel, special effects out the wazoo. Sign me up. Koreans are crazy when they make their movies. About Fate. I want to watch this romantic comedy for the sole purpose of hating it. Because adults that can't talk to one another, I don't think should be allowed to talk. Empire of Light, I know nothing about this after watching the trailer 3 times. Drama surrounding a movie or a movie theater. Or it's a biography about a projectionist. I don't know. Might be Gaspar Noé's, you know, best movie. I don't think it's by Gaspar Noé, but I really couldn't tell you. Wire Room. It's Bruce Willis's last movie. God, I hope it's at least marginally good.
It's his last movie, right?
I don't want his last movie to be that bad of a bust, but it looks bad.
Yeah.
I want it to be entertaining, but it looks bad. Confess, Fletch. Honestly, it's a bit of a shame that they didn't get Chevy Chase to do this.
For real. Yeah.
Because then they could have rounded it out as a trilogy. The fact that they're rebooting Fletch is just troublesome and bothersome.
I don't like the idea.
I mean, I didn't... The Fletch movies are not high entertainment.
No. God, no.
No.
But still.
But I mean, Chevy Chase ain't dead. No.
Get him in here and have him run some lines.
He's always been hard to work with. I mean,
that's just how he is.
So, Bandit, a highly stylized movie about the flying bandit, Gilbert Galvin Jr. Okay, I'll probably stream this one. So for those of you who don't know, because you don't, you know, obla Canadian bank robbers, Gilbert Galvin Jr., got out of prison and went on like a bank robbing spree where he robbed like 50 some odd banks consecutively without getting caught.
Wow. That's impressive.
Like eventually he did.
Yeah, but still that's a hell of a streak.
But it's just this absurd number of banks that, and the thing was, is that he disguised himself. And so he would get in, get the money, leave, change his disguise, and then just
carry on with his day. Yeah.
Carry on with his day. You know, stop and talk to the cops. Is like, what's happening? Bank just got robbed. Oh, you don't say. That's terrible.
Oh, no.
What a crazy random happenstance. So, and then there were some others that looked really, really serious and probably really important and probably things that will win Oscars, but I don't want to talk about them because they're not fun.
That's fair.
So, out of that.
Just to interject real quick.
Sure.
You can stream all 5 seasons of Hanging with Mr. Cooper right now on HBO Max, and you better do it before HBO Max and Discovery Plus do whatever the hell they're going to do later.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point.
All right. Well, Darren, what are you doing tonight? You've got HBO Max, right?
I do have HBO Max, yeah.
Let's see. 20 episodes at 22 minutes apiece per season, except for the last one. Which
I wonder if you can watch it at 1.5 speed.
Probably.
You know?
Probably. And you don't need to watch the credits over and over and over again. So that'll
No, but cut, you, like... you want to. Hey, that theme song.
Hey, where my theme song at?
Yeah.
I mean... Well, not the end credits.
Yeah, I suppose. So, Darren sent an idea, Justin.
Okay.
Specifically, he asked the question, why'd they really cancel Batgirl?
What's the real reason?
And I don't, you know, just give me a wrong answer.
Because the Batgirl film apparently ties in with Flash and the whole multiverse thing.
Right.
I'm betting that the real reason that they canceled it was Hugh Jackman walked on set in full Wolverine costume that was hinted at the end of The Wolverine in like that end credit scene that got deleted. He just shows up, walks right past Batgirl, stares at the camera, and says, "Hey, Disney, see, how hard is this?" And then he walks off, and that's it. No explanation whatsoever. But word got out to Disney's lawyers, and they're like, you can't run that. And so HBO canceled it.
What do you think, Justin?
I think that at the end of the movie, it was revealed that Barbara Gordon is actually a Nazi and is doing all of this work to gain surveillance on Gotham City so that she can report back to her superiors overseas and thus, you know.
Wow. That got dark, like, super fast. I mean,
she changed the bat signal to just, like, the Hydra octopus.
See, I just figured there was no death scene for Thomas and Martha Wayne.
No, oh, yeah.
And it's...
That's a requirement.
It's a requirement in a bat film.
True.
You know, or maybe Jared Leto was the only person available to play a villain.
Ooh. Marketing wanted it to be spelled Bat G-R-R-R-L.
Girl!
And the producers wouldn't budge.
Batgirl only communicated in a series of clicks and whistles.
They wanted to bring Hades back from the Wonder Woman film,
mm-hmm.
but the hello guy wasn't available, and neither was James Woods.
The executive said a female bat hero? What's next, a Wonder Man series?
It turns out Batgirl is actually a woo girl, where every time she's doing something, it's woo!
The only Foley artist they could find also worked on Xena Warrior Princess.
The guy hired to do the Wilhelm stream was sick that day.
Had to make room in the schedule for more Ezra Miller apologetics.
Mm.
No.
Turns out that the suit is much louder than you think it is. Yeah. Like, you know, like that, the series on YouTube, like music videos without, you know,
yeah.
music, the Britney Spears one from Oops, I Did It Again, where it's just, that is like, they just couldn't edit it out. Because I can't think of a good reason to spend that much money on a movie and then not release it other than something they couldn't fix.
Oh, sure. I got it right there. You want to know the real reason?
Give it to us.
All right. The
Let's
real reason.
Yeah.
Joel Schumacher had optioned the sequel.
Oh.
And Warner Brothers did not want to deal with what Joel Schumacher was going to put on that bat suit.
No. See, like in Batman and Robin, he showed restraint. You know? He only gave nips to the guys. No
and
buts.
He learned. Movie was, you know, was panned by so many.
Yeah.
Why? No equality.
No equality, yeah. In all honesty.
I think what happened was during principal filming, Leslie Grace, who played Barbara, had severe laryngitis. And so just before she could go back and re-record her lines, they had Gilbert Godfrey in what would have been his very final role do all of her dialogue just kind of off the cuff.
I am the knight!
You know what I've been thinking about?
Turns out since everyone calls her Babs, she showed up wearing giant pink
rabbit ears. Yes.
And kept asking where her brother was.
No relation.
Yeah, not really. No relation.
It really is a shame because I was looking forward to that one.
Did you know that it's getting one showing?
Yeah, a funeral showing. That's what they're calling it.
Yeah, they're on the studio for the people who worked on it.
They get to see it, and then it gets deleted, set on fire and
basically.
Deleted, something like that. Yeah.
See, now I think
someone should bring a phone in.
If somebody doesn't, it's a lost opportunity. Now, my spouse said, and I agree, that if you do this to a piece of art, you know, whether that's movie or painting or song or whatnot, that you're going to get rid of it for tax purposes, then you're not getting rid of it for tax purposes. What you're effectively doing is selling it to the U.S. government.
Hmm. Yeah.
And then the U.S. government can put it on whatever, you know, whatever display necessary, not for profit.
Yeah.
It can't sell it. You know, that's the point. It's
batgirl.us.org.
Hey, Biden, are you listening?
I'm just saying, if you've got this kind of thing and you've got the tax reasons for doing it.
I've got this thing here and it's golden and I'm not just going to give it away.
So, well, because you're not also getting money from the government.
Right,
you're
yeah.
basically just saying, you're going to take this off my taxes.
Can I just trade my tax return for like a copy of Batgirl? I'm curious. I'm curious enough.
So, all right. Well, on to movies that did get made.
I like Wrong Answers Only.
We should do that again. We'll have to find some more questions. In terms of movies that did get made, I broke into Darren's house one evening.
That's true.
And then I plied him with alcohol and made him watch a scary movie.
That is also true.
All right. So we watched Prey. And I want to say I agree with the consensus that this may be the best Predator movie since the first one. It might be better than the first one. There is a real sense that not only is the Predator an overwhelming force to be reckoned with, but also those that he's hunting are also highly trained and capable warriors and hunters.
Yeah, there's a lot of competency there.
You know, yes, there are ridiculous parts of this movie. There's no question about that. But the overwhelming edge to this is good. It is very good. The pacing's good. The lighting's good. The CGI is...
okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was happy to see the respect that seems to have been shown to the Comanche people in making the movie. I mean, the film comes highly recommended by me. I mean, the only real confusing part was the parts of the movie that could have been gory and maybe quote-unquote should have been, you know, when you've got holes being punched in people and heads being removed. It's always in the background and it's blurred out and they don't show it. They allude to it. But the parts that could have been alluded to, you know, needing to put a tourniquet around a guy who lost his leg, you're going to see those severed bones.
Oh, yeah.
And that bit of leg. It's not...
it's a passing glance.
It's
but...
not super gory and gross. It's just like, why was that part important to look at? But not the heroic, you know, death of, you know, Hunter number three.
Yeah.
Still, this one gets an A from me. It's been over a week, and I still want to watch it again, so the movie high is gone.
I thought it was very good. Mm-hmm. I thought it was very good. And I've only seen the first Predator and this one, so I haven't seen any of the sequels. And, yeah, I thought it was great.
So definitely, if you've got a Hulu account, check that one out. Now, in terms of things that you got to have a subscription in order to watch, Darren, you said that you've been binging just stuff.
Everything on HBO Max. It's because my sister and my beautiful, talented niece and my sister's husband were all up. I love them all. I know they're listening. That's why
I know who you love the most.
Well, of course. Adrian is a subscriber. And my sister and her husband just listen based on Adrian's subscription. So, you know, Adrian is the best.
Parasites.
But I re-upped HBO Max.
I've met Adrian and I can confirm this.
Yeah, but I re-upped on HBO Max because there was enough stuff there anyway. But also because they were visiting. And whenever they visit, I take Adrian and my sister Brittany and my spouse Lori aside. And we all play D&D together as well. And Cody has no interest in D&D. He needs something to do to fill like 3 hours. So he'll watch a movie or two on HBO Max.
You have arcade cabinets in your basement.
I know. But all that to say, yes, I've been binging through Harley Quinn. I haven't finished season 3. I went and rewatched seasons 1 and 2 because it's just so damn good.
Yeah.
But I started season 3 and I've caught up. So at the time of this taping, I've seen the first 7 episodes of season 3. And it kind of falls into the same pitfalls that a lot of other shows fall in, that once the relationship drama is resolved, it's not as good.
Oh.
That's not to say it's bad. It's not bad by any means. It's still good, but it seems to have lost a step in the humor department. Because the first few episodes are basically figuring out Harley and Ivy, figuring out each other's quirks, getting over each other's insecurities, that kind of thing. But there are a couple of episodes that are standouts and minor spoilers here. There's one episode where they try to infiltrate the Court of Owls. And they didn't know that the Court of Owls meetings include an orgy. So there's some blurred out stuff, but man, there's a lot there that's not left to the imagination.
Huh. So you're saying that this isn't for kids?
Oh no, this show is definitely not for kids. Jim Gordon decides to run for mayor, but so does the Joker. But the Joker is now a happy, you know, suburban stepdad. You know, he found love in season 2 with like a normal person, and he's trying to leave evil behind, but he runs for mayor just so he can become a problem for this Karen-esque mom that's he's having to deal with at school. Like, she's got a VIP parking space, and so the entire reason he runs for mayor, to make sure that his kids can learn in bilingual classes if they want to, and B, so he can have her parking space. But there's a great homage to the scene from Batman 89 where Joker has this parade and he's tossing money out, mm-hmm. and he's even got the same outfit. You know,
it's nice
little stuff like that. In fact, there is a Full House-esque intro to the episode where with Joker and his family,
uh-huh.
and the lines of the song are all pulled from some of his most famous quotes in comics.
Oh, geez.
You know, it's just wonderful. Right. It's wonderful. So there are a couple of bright spots. One particularly bright spot is Nora Freeze, who was revived during season 2.
Mm-hmm.
She's catching up on all the years that she missed by just being a drunk hoe in every aspect of the word.
Poor Victor.
Oh, Victor's not around to worry about it. But she mates it with Swamp Thing, and there's a whole thing there.
Okay.
Swamp Thing, who has a man bun, by the way.
All right, next review.
Yeah. So, sorry, I went long on that. I'm just saying
just don't want to hear more about the man bun.
Sorry, that's fair. Harley Quinn season 3 is still good.
I do.
It's just, it's
not your segment.
It feels like a half step below season 2, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Still good, just not as good.
Right.
I also have been watching Young Justice season 4.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise subtitled Phantoms. Hello to Greg Wiseman, who producer on the show, and he's been on the podcast a few times. And hopefully we can get him back soon. I'd love to have him back on to see if we can maybe find out about another surprise project he's working on. Because I think last time we found out he was working on Star Wars Rebels, and that was fun. But yeah, Young Justice Season 4, otherwise known as the season they're all sad. Now, these are teenage heroes who are now in their early 20s, and they have dealt with a lot of trauma. Well, you know, in the human condition, that trauma eventually is going to catch up with you. And so each of the members of the core members of the team has kind of like a 4 or 5 episode arc where they're dealing with their own stuff, but they're also dealing with a shared trauma of lost teammates, that kind of thing. So on one hand, it tells a really important story, the season does. The season also kind of looks into a character known as Halo. She is, in her past life, she was a Muslim girl. She died. She came back with metahuman powers and a different personality. And so she's discovering who she is, what pronouns she wants to use. Is she still a Muslim or is she something else now? All that stuff. It's really important dialogue. It's really important storytelling. It's just not as fun as the other seasons, and the animation has taken a bit of a step down. I don't know if they're working on a lesser budget or what, but you know, in like the old Hanna-Barbera, like the Scooby-Doo and the Super Friends stuff, where, you know, they're moving forward, but it's clear that all that's happening is like the background is just repeating every 2 or 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There have been a couple moments like that.
Okay.
You know, little stuff that like, lingering camera shots on a character's face with a narration and no actual animation happening other than maybe they blink. Stuff like that. Again, the storytelling is just as good, but the animation is taking a bit of a dive. So not a dive like deep, but it's step down.
You have to let me know if suddenly somebody's hero symbols colors get inverted. Like in the old, like when Scooby-Doo meets Batman, yeah. At one point it's a yellow bat with a back black.
Okay, yeah, no, nothing like that has happened. But there was, this is minor spoilers, there was a, do you remember the bio ship? Did that come along while you were watching Young Justice? It was Ms. Martian's spaceship.
I don't remember that, no.
All right, Ms. Martian has a spaceship that's actually like a living sentient being. They go back to Mars for a while. And the best thing I can describe it as, because the spaceship manages to like reproduce, it looks like a spaceship orgy, as in it goes to this cave where the other bio ships are, and then they all melt into this one pool, And when the bio ship comes out, there's another one.
So, Darren, I'm going to say this in all seriousness and love.
Yeah.
Turn safe search on.
I'm just telling you what I'm seeing, bro.
Right. Well, let me know if they revert back to Synchrovox, you know, cartoons.
All right.
For those of you who don't know what that is, that's when you had a stock picture, but then you had the human mouth that moved in the cartoon.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, no, nothing like that yet.
Just
so. Yeah, I know. I've used that word twice in this segment, which is two more times than I usually use it.
It's not a lot.
But it's enough to be weird. But that's the last time I'm going to use it.
If I had a nickel for every time I'd heard that, I'd have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird.
The only other thing I've been watching is She-Hulk.
Right.
Which is good.
And how could you not be watching She-Hulk? I mean, it's funny.
It's funny. Tatiana Maslany as Jen Walters is a great cast, you know. Mark Ruffalo returning as Hulk is fun. The first episode is really well done. There's already, I've only seen the first two episodes, but they've already made it clear that this is the kind of She-Hulk who breaks the fourth wall, that kind of thing. So, yeah, I'm enjoying that.
Awesome. Do you have any other reviews there, Justin?
Nope. I've been watching a lot of old stuff.
Cool. I love old stuff. Well, before we get into our random movie review, here's a little something the people at Extra Life have whipped up.
Extra Life was born. It just occurred to me that gamers should be able to do the things they love to help sick and injured kids as well. And so the funds that Extra Lifers raise can go to a variety of purposes in the local area at the local hospital.
So maybe your extra $20 or your extra $50 goes to curing 87% of children with leukemia.
62 kids like me enter a children's hospital every minute.
And I was one of those kids. You could save their life too.
Play games, heal kids.
Donate and learn more at geekcavepodcast.com.
And with no other business.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sorry, one more thing.
And now it is time for Darren's Trivial Trivia.
Okay, so I learned this a while back and it's been eating at me, so now you all have to know it too. Woody Harrelson's dad was a hitman for the mob. And he was a convicted murderer. And he was suspected of having something to do with the death of JFK.
I didn't know that last one. Okay.
Not a single orgy in that one.
And yet you said the word a third time now.
I know, that's part of the joke. Carry on.
Kent!
Oh, the lights are down low. The popcorn is hot. The drinks are cold. Settle in for the cinematic universe of Chad's Random Movie Review.
By the roll of the dice, the next random movie will be Just Like Heaven.
Full of orgies.
Not a faith-based movie. All right. So, I watched Green Snake. And it's a long movie, and most of what happens in the movie is important, and so I'm going to be leaving a bunch of stuff out of it, but we'll get the main parts. Actually, first I should probably tell you, this is a sequel. This is actually White Snake 2, The Ballad of Green Snake. But you cannot find The Ballad of White Snake on Netflix or Disney Plus. Or Paramount Plus, or really anywhere else. So, I'm sure that somebody's got it, but I did not have the benefit of watching it. So, the beginning of the movie has Werther and Blanca fighting against a monk named Fahai, who has kidnapped Blanca's husband and is forcibly turning him into a monk. The two sisters, Werther and Blanca, they're not humans, they are snake demons. And though they battle mightily, the monk is too powerful for them. Blanca is sent to be imprisoned beneath a monastery, and Werther is, apparently, killed by Galactus from Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Ew.
The screen goes black. As the eyes of our protagonist open, Verta discovers that she has traveled to some other realm that looks a lot like a modern-day city, though strangely empty. And shortly after accidentally making a car alarm go off, she learns two things. One, that she does not have any of her snazzy demon snake powers. And two, she is now being hunted by a minotaur-looking prick wearing a large bony club on a chain. She escapes with the help of a couple humans and finds some shelter in the base of a gigantic octopus. Verta is introduced to the internet and learns that she is about 1,000 years into her future and is now a resident of Asuraville, a city outside of time that is the unwilling home for spirits, humans and monsters, and rakshas that won't let go of their own particular obsessions. Verta, however, wants to figure out how to get back because she's got to find her sister. That's her obsession.
Okay.
Maybe. What follows is a tightly paced story of training, fighting, and fleeing the various denizens of this world, while attending, at one point, they have to go to the All Good Market, a neutral zone.
It's all good.
Between the two, like, warring gangs that are going on. And Verta learns that the only way to leave Asuraville is by giving up her obsession. And over the course of the movie, she's got like three of them. But for the first one, her obsessive search for her sister. That relationship she would have to give up in order to get out of Asuraville. But when shown the process, it looks a whole lot like death is the only way to allow someone to escape the city permanently. Now, granted, most of the themes of the movie revolve around the concept of rebirth and reincarnation, so death isn't, you know, necessarily the end of the story. But the thing is that if you give up your obsession, you're giving up a vital part of yourself in order to be reincarnated, you know, into this next phase.
Okay.
Now, eventually, Verta does learn that she needs to cleanse her karma. Like, there is another way back to the main world that involves having to, like, jump through a snake's mouth that's got, like, a blue vomit ball starting to form at the end of it. It makes perfect sense in context of the movie. But she has to cleanse her karma. She is an unsettled person. She's very violent. She's quick to anger. She needs to cleanse that karma in order to be able to cross the wish bridge to return to the outside world. And that sentence also makes perfect sense in the context of the movie. But if I explain it, then it's going to spoil things, and I don't want to spoil it.
Okay.
So what's the best way for Verta to cleanse her karma? Well, she's got to find a double-decker bus that is driven by a spider demon, get into the upper level of that bus, and enter an inky black anus, and pull a Doctor Strange fighting Dormammu on the funky monk from the beginning of the movie, continually getting beat up by him until she eventually defeats him. Somehow, repeatedly beating the poop out of a steadily aging monk is good for karma. I did not know this. However, once she succeeds, she's able to make this leap into the blue vomit ball and becomes reunited with her sister. I have left out a huge amount. Just an absolute scad of this movie has been left out. The movie's not for children. I've given you a very broad stroke.
But clearly, yes.
I don't care how happy the ending is. This movie, at best, is for teens and up. The plot does make sense in context. I will actually say that it succeeds as a movie because maybe you need stuff from the first movie to lend context, but I understood everything that was happening.
You knew where they were going.
Yeah. My biggest concern with the movie, honestly, is the apparent desire to make everything in it sexy. Human snake demon? Sexy. The JRPG protagonist-looking fella who put all his points into charisma? Swaggeringly sexy. The horse-faced and minotaur-looking dudes in the leather? BDSM for big damn sexy mofos. The weirdly childlike half-wolf demon? Uncomfortably sexy.
Yeah.
Douchebag self-righteous monk? Yeah, still kind of sexy.
Cool.
Multi-armed and legged spider woman that drives the double-decker bus that also has multiple arms and legs that have wheels at the end of it? You guessed it. Sexy. The action scenes are frenetic. They're well done. Do not watch this on your phone. You need space between you and the screen because it is fast. It is very fast. The animation might be a little bit too clean. The faces look a little bit too porcelain. Like, it just, things are a little bit too smooth. But it's a style. It's a choice. And you get used to it. As a sequel, it works. I didn't need anything from the first one to make it make sense. Pieces to fill some context, but I never felt lost outside of the first 3 minutes of the film. This one's a Be Like Me.
Okay.
So with no other business, thanks to our sponsors, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly. Find geeky news, etc. at geekcavepodcast.com, as well as our link for Extra Life. We cannot do it without you. Join the Discord for fun conversation. Tell your friends all about where to find us, including Podbean, Apple Podcast, Amazon, Good Pod, and so forth. Don't forget to check out our other offerings, including You Want Me to Watch What? And Week 3. Then head over to twitch.tv/geekcavepodcast, see Darren play some video games, or find our YouTube channel to see Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. For Kent Harris, our Aragorn, for Darren Wright, our Legolas, for Justin White, our Gimli, I'm Chad Savage, our Fredegar Bolger. Look that one up. Thanks for listening, and remember, everyone is a geek for something.